With more than 6,000 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in mainland China, the Trump administration is warning airlines this week that it might ban all U.S. flights to and from China if the risk to public health increases. So far, the State Department is telling Americans not to travel to Hubei, the province at the epicenter of the outbreak. It's also advising people to reconsider trips to any part of the country. Let's bring in Seth Kaplan. He's Here and Now transportation analyst. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Peter.
So you're an airline guy. Let's start with the airline news that British Airways is now the first airline to cancel all of its flights to and from China this week. There are other carriers like Lion Air of Indonesia and Seoul Air in South Korea. They're doing the same. Some U.S. carriers have decided to cut back a little bit. But that's a big decision. What goes into something like that?
Well, it's a commercial decision, but also, of course, a safety decision. Commercially, the reality is that demand for travel to and from China has dropped. So just like when demand to anywhere drops, you're just not going to need as many flights. Airlines, of course, also have to look at the safety of their own personnel. In terms of the White House, they, of course, need to look just at safety. And it's tricky because banning flights between the U.S. and China isn't the same as banning travel between the U.S. and China. You know, people connect between China and the U.S. in places like South Korea, places like Canada. So, you know, in some ways it makes it trickier. I mean, the good thing about a flight coming in from China is at least you know where everybody came from. Trickier almost to screen everybody coming off a flight from Toronto, right?
So, yes, safety is a question, but that's a lot of lost revenue. How much could the airlines be hurt ultimately by this outbreak, especially if the Trump administration does go ahead and eventually ban all flights?
Well, I think the importance of banning flights by the administration actually kind of drops each day as airlines do more of this on their own. What also helps them from a financial standpoint, again, not to minimize the tragedy here, is just the fact that China has been a difficult market financially for them anyway for the past year or so. American Airlines got rid of some of its flights from Chicago to China for commercial reasons last year, and they've since said that that has actually helped their profits. So you sort of have a forced capacity reduction in a market that's been difficult anyway. Now you have all those big expensive airplanes that then you have to decide what else to do with. So this is by no means the way airlines would hope to reduce capacity in a problematic market. But it is, from a financial standpoint, at least not a market where they've been doing all that well recently.
We've been watching the U.S. government's effort to evacuate Americans from Wuhan. What can you tell us about that? How's it going?
Yeah, reports of a giant 747 is one example that was chartered, came in and arrived to cheers from people there, stopped in Alaska on the way back first, where people were screened, and then finally at an Air Reserve base in Southern California, where they also will continue to be screened under somewhat of a quarantine situation, but obviously far more comfortably than what they faced back in China.
Right. Seth, another airline story that we often talk to you about is Boeing and its struggle to get the 737 MAX back into operation. I'm sure you saw this news that Boeing posted its first annual loss today since 1997. It lost $636 million last year. Compare that to 2018. It made $10 billion in profit. Here's Boeing's new CEO, David Calhoun, on CNBC this morning saying that despite all this, he's still confident in the 737 MAX.
We do need confidence as we launch this airplane, but the underlying engineering of the airplane, the demonstrated performance outside that one moment where boundary conditions were not provided for, I believe in this airplane.
Calhoun's got to believe in this airplane because it's so important to Boeing, but does everybody else?
Well, Boeing's shares rose today on the profit release, or the earnings release anyway. Of course, the losses. That's not investors expressing confidence that they're, you know, or being thrilled with the results. That's more people just kind of exhaling, being relieved that the news wasn't worse.
Could have been worse, right?
Yeah, that there wasn't more bad news today because there's already so much bad news baked in to that share price, which, of course, is much lower than where it stood a year ago.
Boeing, speaking of bad news, expects the MAX-related losses to exceed $18 billion. CNBC reported this week that the company just secured a $12 billion loan from various banks. The company needs cash. It's probably not used to being in that situation. How existential of a crisis is this for the future of Boeing?
Well, I'm sure some of why it's raising cash is just that we are in a fairly low interest rate environment, and that's just sort of Boeing managing its balance sheet. This is a company that's still worth $180 billion or so, still ranked among the 50 or so most valuable companies in the world. Now, yeah, that's down $70 billion or so from where it was less than a year ago, so it's been pounded. But that's not the kind of valuation that a company has when investors are concerned about its viability as a company, even though, yeah, a company that's clearly lost a lot of its luster.
And just quickly, Seth, how close are we to getting these planes back in the air?
Boeing has said mid-year. They haven't kind of been any more specific about that for recertification, but it looks like definitely well into the second half of this year before you see commercial flights, before you see passengers back on board, those that are willing to get onto these
exactly.
planes.
Exactly, yeah. Seth Kaplan, here in Now's transportation analyst. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.